So as Christians, we are supposed to be the people who care about what God cares about, right? Amen? As Christians, we are supposed to be the people who are attentive enough to God that we know what He values, and we then align ourselves and we decide to value what He values. In as much as it's possible, to the extent that He values it. And I think it's a pretty universally accepted principle that you tell what someone values by what they're willing to pay for it. You can tell how much someone values something by the value of what they're willing to give up for it. So if you want to know, and if you're a Christian, and maybe not everyone here is, but even if you're flirting with the idea, if you want to know what God values, what matters most to Him, what is floats to the top as most precious in the heart of God, then you need to search the Scriptures and search God's heart for what He gave the most for. What did He give in this text? You see it. He gave His one and only Son. What did He give that for? I want you to say it with me. He gave it for the world. How precious is the world to Him? Based on the value of what He gave for it. So for the last couple of years, we've had this banner up here on stage, this theme, sharing Jesus every year, not strictly, we're not legalistic about it, but about every year, your leadership comes together and thinks about this church family that they've been given stewardship of by God. That's how they feel. And they're doing that all the time. They're thinking about this church all the time, but we especially get together, at least usually once a year, and we reflect on where we have recently been, like the journey we're on and where we've recently been and where we currently are and where we might need to go next for another season, where we need to throw our attention maybe a little more intentionally, a bit longer than a three-week sermon series or something that would align us a little bit more with what God has in mind for us as the Southwest Church in this season and in this place. So it was a couple of years ago that we put this banner up there. We were a couple of years removed from COVID, where we put, as a church, necessarily, we put a lot of attention on each other. We, along with the rest of the world, let alone other churches, it was a lot of unknown. And so we were in survival mode. And we were just trying to get through that season, and rightly so. But it put our attention on each other. And praise God we had each other. And then once the intensity of COVID kind of lifted a bit, we then instigated a study. It was a big one for us, one that got COVID-ed. We were supposed to do it earlier, but we had to put it off, but we wanted to be faithful to that call of God, and that was a big one for us, a study concerning what Scripture teaches and what it doesn't teach concerning women's role in the body of Christ. And suffice it to say that that also pulled our attention inward on each other. Now, it had a sharing Jesus element to it. We want to present to the world the whole image of God as He revealed it in the male and the female. We want to be truer in our understanding, in our presentation, in our faithfulness to Scripture. But we had inherited a very well ingrained but what our leadership concluded, incomplete way of reading Scripture, and unlearning that needed attention, and learning a truer, a more complete way, a more scriptural way of reading and interpreting Scripture. So what I'm saying that about those is both of those provided seasons and therefore years of us focusing on each other necessarily, and it was right to do so, but it pulled our energy from corporately as a church and then individually even as disciples in our role as a light to what? Say it with me, the world. It pulled our attention from being the salt of the earth. It pulled our attention from being what Jesus calls the kingdom is supposed to be like leaven or yeast that's worked through the whole dough of the world. We necessarily pulled inward and looked at each other, and that's okay. But it was at that time, a couple of years ago, we decided that, and we prayerfully discerned that we needed to turn our attention back to the world. This precious thing to God. This immeasurably precious thing. To more intentionally re-engage our ultimate purpose for why God has us on this piece of property in this city. Why God has you as a member of this. He's strategic. He put you here and us with each other for a reason. And to refocus all of us as a group and each of us as we walk this life to re-engage us on sharing Jesus. So I know I'm taking time to do this, and before I get into any content really here at all, but it's important as we begin this series. When we get to the holidays, late last of November and on into December, Doyle and I are planning a series that will lead us up to what we as believers all see is the real reason for Christmas, the coming of God to the earth, to the world, in the birth of Jesus. So if my surmising is right, we're going to be building up to Christmas in December. If my surmising is right, and we won't have this banner starting in 2026, I'm not positive of that, but I'm not always, my surmising isn't always right, but just pulls to the leadership. We'll probably move on from this banner, hopefully not from what's on it ever, but from focusing on it intentionally. Then that means I've got this last series, this from right now to the end of November, to leave a mark on you. I've got this last chance to get my last shot at you, to inspire you as a lover of God, as a follower of Jesus, to make what's on this banner the primary reason for your existence. The reason for your life. So we have a sharing Jesus is just one of many words we use to describe this priority of Christians that God has given us. Evangelism is the one that's in Scripture. We talk about it in terms of winning people or winning souls to Christ or converting people to Jesus. Those are all accurate depictions of parts of what happens in this world-loving mission of God. But I think generally speaking, we in churches, and I think this is the success of the enemy, really, we sometimes hear those words or see this banner, and too many of us unintentionally come away thinking, that's hard, that's a specialized skill set, that's something that it takes special training, and even if I attempt it, goodness, it might be uncomfortable to do it. It might be offensive even to some people. And so we unintentionally come away from this idea of sharing Jesus like it's difficult, like it's really, really hard. And something that maybe I can never, have never, and will never master as a skill. I'm just going to have to leave that to other people in the body of Christ. Because who even wants to be offensive to others? And so we unintentionally rule ourselves out as ever seeing ourselves as effective at sharing Jesus. Am I right? That happens, right? So my faith goal in this series, my last shot under this banner, its message, my hope, my prayer, this is my faith goal. I can't do what I'm about to say I want done in this series. It's my faith goal. I'm praying for this. I'm depending on my prayers, not my content. Is that you leave this series realizing that simply by the merits of being a human being, you are equipped and qualified to share Jesus. That simply by the merits that you are a fully 100% ingrained citizen of that world, that you are equipped, that you can share Jesus with the world. And I want you leaving excited to do so. Think about it. How hard do you have to try? How much training do you need to be a human being? Anyone? None. You don't need any training. You are one. It is not difficult at all. How hard do you have to try to understand the trials of being a human being? The problems of being a human being? The insecurities inherent in being a human being? The fears that come with being a human being? The dilemmas of a human being? How hard do you have to try to have a problem as a human being? None at all. You don't have to try at all because you are one. How hard do you have to try to know what joy is and to know when it's lacking? How hard do you have to try to know what peace is and to know when it's lacking? How hard do you have to try to know what rest is and to know when it's lacking? It's effortless. You've got that down because you're a human being. How hard do you have to try to know what community or friendship is and when that's missing, to understand loneliness? How hard do you have to try to know what love is and to know when it's missing? You have to try it all. It's native to you. It's not hard for anyone in this room to be a human being. And here's the good news. You have that in common. You have that point of intersection with everyone in the world. This thing that is so precious to God. You can intersect with anyone in the world at the level of a human being, because you are one. So my faith goal is that you leave here in this, leave this series renewed in your faith, in your ability to do this. Not because you know enough or have studied enough or equipped yourself enough with the gospel, but simply because you are a human being, and that's how God, that's who God uses to deliver Jesus to the world. So that's my faith goal. I hope that happens to you. That's all I can do. I can't make that happen. I can't talk you into that. Can't educate you into that. It is my prayer. I'm depending on my prayer more than my preaching. That you leave here. I'm an evangelist. I'm equipped. Perfectly equipped. Don't have to try hard at all. So you might be asking, well, Brian, what are you going to say to try to convince us of that? What are you going to do to convince us, to help join God in that happening in us? Well, I actually hope I've already said enough. Because what I'm presenting in this series is not like theologically difficult to get. I've already said it. You're human. That qualifies you to love God's most precious thing. Humans. You're already qualified because you are one. You relate. And by the way, the most important things are not theologically difficult to get. What I'm saying is not intellectually rigorous work. Sometimes we do intellectually rigorous work. It's fun, it's good, it's useful, it grows us, but this is not that. And I'll just tell you, the most important things are not. What I'm saying in this series, while I think it is revealed, it is outlined in Scripture, it's presentable from Scripture, both narratively and tons of statements and teachings of Jesus and otherwise, it's showable from Scripture. While that's true, what I'm wanting you to hear in this series, I want it to just ring true to you as a human being. I just want this time, I often go to Scripture and unpack it in a way that Christians trained and used to having it proved in Scripture for it to be true, but I will use Scripture in this series. I will, of course, but only as testimony, as a witness to what I want confirmed in you as a human. Because what we have, if it is not confirmable just as a human, we got no hope in sharing it with the world, God's most precious thing. God didn't come to the world to save Christians. Did you know that? He didn't. God came to give life to human beings. And when God wanted to do that, okay, so I want you to picture God in heaven. I want to share myself with the world. He's God. He can do it however he wants, right? I'm going to presume that however he decides to do it is the best way. Okay, however he decides to do it is the best way. So when he could do it any way he wanted, when he wanted to share the message, his message, he wanted to share his life, his truth, when he wanted to do it, how did he go about doing it? He became a human being. This shouldn't matter. This shouldn't just be the Christmas story that we praise God, that he incarnated, which is just our $5 word for God became flesh. I really want you to think about it in this series. God, when he could deliver himself to this most precious thing, he cares about this as much as anything, if not more than everything ever, the world, when he decides to give them the most important message, the way he does it is he becomes what you already are. I don't know how it all works, but I've really thought about it this week. And how did God become? How did the Creator become what was created? I don't know what that took, but I know it was a massive move. You don't have to do anything. And you are what God became in order to intersect with the world in a way that would effectively share himself with the world. Let that hit you for a minute. What God became in order to share Jesus to the world is what you already are. This took me back when I was a youth minister back in my early 20s, and I just started, and I was really loving students and learning to love students, and just I want them to know Jesus. And I looked really young when I was a youth minister. And people would always tell me, you just look like one of the students. Where's the adult here? Who's in charge? I mean, I just looked really young in my 20s. And so over time, as I'm trying to make disciples of these students, I had a dream job started growing in my heart, okay? And the job I wanted to do, I was like, this would be so much better if I was a student. And so I had this dream job, since everyone says I look like a student, I would like to enroll in our local high school as a freshman and just be fully immersed as a student. But knowing what I know now in my 20s, with the maturity that I had spiritually in my 20s, I know the peer pressure and how not to, I just, all this stuff, and try to make disciples of students as a student. I thought this would be awesome. And I would share this heart with my youth group. There's one guy, he loved this idea. He thought, do it at our school. What would it take to get you to, I mean, can you imagine what it would take? We'd have to go to the school board and principals. And these days, and probably those days, they would never do that. You would never trust an adult in the midst of students as a student. But his imagination caught fire, and he thought, if you were there with me and we were ministering to my peers, and you're just, this would be, and he just loved the idea. And I mean, there's just no way. I'd already discerned that, but it's still a dream job, right? And then it hits him. Wait a minute. I am a student. I can do your dream job. I can do it. I'm already what you're saying you wish you could be, and I can go ahead and do what you wish you could do. And I'm telling you, it was not months that had passed that he was in relationship with students. It's significant, meaningful relationships with students just because he tuned into that's what he's supposed to be doing and that he can. He has acres and acres of common ground with these fellow students. And it was not long that some of those students started coming to church with him. And it wasn't 6 months before he was in some baptismal waters with one of those friends, baptizing his friend into the life and ministry of Jesus Christ. What happened to him, I want to happen to you in this series. This is a kid. He didn't know enough. He has Jesus, though. He turned his attention from being equipped as a Christian to share the gospel, which is good work and good and healthy and confidence building and powerful work. And he turned his attention to just being a student with students and caring about those around him and noticing those and intersecting with those with what he already has in common with all of them. And since he has Jesus, like you, a lot of you, God could then use him to transfer, to share Jesus with other human beings as much as God wanted to. That can happen for you. Here's the deal. According to God, we learn this in the Christmas story, the best way to deliver God to the world is by becoming human first. This is what I want to attempt to do in this series. Still all passionate about Jesus and you sharing Jesus, you knowing Jesus and you being able to tell people about Jesus, but I think we would do us a disservice, and maybe we need to do this more. We need to re-engage with what it means to be human. That's who he gave his son up for. Not you as a Christian. A Christian is just a description, hopefully, of a human who has received Jesus. Now, I hope I've said enough that our series title does not look as heretical as it might sound at first. The series is called Humanity First. And for our purposes, humanity first is not to be heard as putting human desires before God's desires. Human flesh, human cares, human self-opinion of what's most important to us above God's opinion of what's most important to us. It's not to be heard as putting human desires over God's desires. That's not what it means. That would be cruel. In fact, if our message was that, if we took this to mean, okay, I'm putting humans first over God. Hey, you need to, and our message was something like this. You need to put yourself first. You need to figure out what's true for you, right? You're not like anyone else. You need your truth. Discover that, because it's going to be different from everyone else's truth. And you need to decide what's right and good for you, because what's right and good for someone else might not be right and good for you. If we did that, if that's what we meant by humanity first, okay? Human-centric, like flesh-centric. You know where that would lead? You know why that'd be cruel? It would lead to exactly what we have now in the world. Because that's the message. That's the morality of the world. That's the culture. And some churches have gone that direction as well. Unintentionally elevating humanity's opinion over God's, but with cloaked language of it's your truth, not the truth. It's yours. And you've got a right to it, even if I don't agree with it. Even if it's not my truth. So, that would be cruel. So when you see this for this series, humanity first, or if anyone asks you, what is this whole heretical thing your church is doing. I looked online. You're doing some humanity first thing. For those of us who want to put God first in our lives, humanity first means we value humanity the way that God values humanity. And that we understand that our point of intersection with everyone in the world, with everyone we ever meet, if we want to share Jesus, it's going to be transferred, not by going knocking on their doors, just dropping a Bible off and hope that does it. God could have done that. He could have just dropped a Bible off down from heaven and expect us to read it and just catch it, but he didn't. He came down here and intersected with us at the point of humanity. So it doesn't mean that. It doesn't mean that first, at least. It means being human like God was. And in this verse, actually, if we go back to this verse, just one last look at it. The content itself, if you'll let it be, and I hope it was, in just that six, I'm getting 25 minutes. I gave God 1 minute with you on this. But I hope in that minute the Spirit did open something up to you. The content itself is soul-shaking. It's life-defining when you really take it in. But what I love about this is God in the flesh, as a human, is practicing what I'm preaching here. He's trying to explain his love, not with a scripture verse. He's trying to explain this love in a way humans can understand. Right here. This to us is a scripture verse, but that's not what it was at first. It was just God becoming human, intersecting with us as a human, and then sharing in a human way why what is most precious to him. Think of it. Who of us do not understand the love that exists between a parent and a child? Like, even if you didn't experience it in your relationship with you know what it's supposed to be. That it hurts is because your heart knows. We know the uncontrollable love that is supposed to exist or exists between a parent and a child. I tell you this much, if I gave my son or my other son or my daughter, if I gave them for something, you would never need to debate again how precious that thing is to me. It would be so precious that I have tried and I have not found it. But God did. God took that love that we're supposed to have for our children and he said, I did find it. If there was a statement for Brian so loved blank that he gave his child, that there's nothing that fills that blank. God has something that fills that blank. What is it? Say it with me. It's the world. And if we are going to value what God values, we are going to elevate how much we value what he values, and that's the world. Every single person in it, all of them, and each one of them. So you have no choice if you're going to be God-centered, but to be humanity-centered. If you're going to put God first, you have no choice but in your life to put humanity first. That's going to start acting out. It's going to start happening. And what I'm saying is if you don't have to try hard to be human, you just have to lean into it and start being human with humans. His most precious thing, God will take care of this. God will take care of this. And then you'll get to be a part of the world changing that we as a church were put here in this city to be a part of. Human beings are God's most precious things, and he wants to connect with them in order to share himself with them. And he did that by intersecting with them at the point of humanity. You're already there. So that's this series. If you know how to be human, listen. If you know how to be human, you know how to share Jesus. Let's not make it so hard. Let's pray. God, you know what I'm trying to do here more than I know. You're going to be more effective at communicating to each of our hearts what I'm trying to communicate. I listen to my brother Brady focus us on Jesus. And how did he do it? He did it by being human. He didn't just read a scripture like we often do, and there's nothing wrong with doing that to prepare our minds and our hearts for remembering what Jesus did, but he connected with us at the point of our humanity. He told just a story that's not hard for him to tell. It's his story. He almost died, and he shared what happened when he almost died. There's not one of us that don't relate to that. We're all going to face death. And your message came. Jesus came rushing into us as we took that bread and we drank that cup, God. It's not hard. We repent, God, for making it so hard. For thinking we need to be perfect morally to share Jesus. To think we got to be good enough to share Jesus. To got to know enough to share Jesus. We got to be equipped enough. We repent of saying it's someone else's job. That's not my gift. God, I'm praying for these to be true prayers in the hearts of everyone here. And that everyone just relax and realize they already are what you became to effectively share Jesus. Use us, God. We don't want to get through this life having missed this. We want to be a part of this and affect eternity. It's in the name of Jesus that we praise and worship you now. Amen.